Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host today and special guest today, longtime friend. Everybody, I think, knows him by his first name, but that last name, even I've known him for years. I'm like, how do you spell your last name? Alfonso
Sacieta.
Sacieta.
Yes.
That's a very romantic name. Yes. Sacieta.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, glad to have you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Appreciate that. So,
yes. You retired.
Yes.
Sold the business and retired 3 years ago.
Two years ago. Yeah.
How's that been?
It's been great.
It has.
It's been great. You know, there's a time to step aside and hand the business to somebody else. You know, the people that we gave it to them. You know, it's a good family that cares about community. You know, the church, the people, and they'll continue the legacy. And I'm glad for that. You know,
did they?
They worked for us for a long time. A lot of them, you know, like Hannah and Isaac and Jake and Hannah's husband. You know. And they have employees that work for us for a long time, too. So they inherit those, too. So it's been worked good for all of us.
Yeah,
it is. But I'm glad for them and for us, too. You know, I think you need to know the time when you need to step aside. That was the thing, you know. So,
you know, actually.
I miss the customers. I miss the people. I'm not as in contact with them. I'm a people person. So that's what I miss, you know, some more things, not as much, but, you know, it's just.
Now, Alfonso, you're Peruvian. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people might not realize, but your pizza is Peruvian, right?
Mm-hmm.
You told me that a long time ago.
Yes.
Tell me about Peru. What was it like living in Peru many years ago?
Peru was wonderful. Everything was okay.
Yeah.
And suddenly we had a president that kind of called populist decided not to pay the debts to the monetary debts to international banks and spend a lot of money. And we had some disasters. And there was a group called the Shining Path. It was a terrorist group that was emerging.
Shining Path. They were a terrorist group. That's
and
odd.
They got ideas from Mao Zedong and Cuba and China. And, they were fighting the government. And the government was fighting them. And in the middle were the peasants, like always, you know. And there was a lot of suffering, a lot of name-calling and blaming, bombs. And the economy was in shambles. So actually, we have an inflation of the 90s of 12,377%. It's hard to fathom.
12,377%.
Yeah.
So oh my gosh. Money wasn't worth anything.
Right. Let's say your pen costs $1 in a few years. It cost thousands. But the thing is, Chris, I finished college. And I was making 20 bucks in a bank a month.
In Peru?
Yes. So our money, people became really poor.
Yeah.
You know, and it was really rough. And I said, Mom, you know, I'm out of America because I won't be able to save anything. You know, I need to.
How old were you?
I was 23.
Uh-huh.
So at 24, I came here. I got some cousins in Chicago. And they embraced me and helped me a little bit, you know, and not a little bit, they host me, you know. And
what did you have in Chicago?
Cousins and uncles.
Cousins.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And I was going to school to learn English there. And Alina, my wife, happened to go there too. So that's what
I met.
So
that's
her.
Where you met,
yes,
Alina?
Yes. And we met in a museum. It was a beautiful love story. We were invited by somebody to a museum and we would start talking in the museum. And
yeah.
That was the beginning of the history.
What was your best line? How did you get her to, like, how'd you get her to, like, for that first date? I mean,
I saw this beautiful red-haired lady, you know, with and
just, you've never seen a red-haired lady back in Peru.
We've seen him, you know, but she was so nice and beautiful, and I put it in my shoulders, you know, and then just took it away. we started talking, and I don't know, it was just a love at first sight.
It really was.
Yeah, and then there was a pizza man that was selling the pizza place in her hometown and offered it to her brother. And she said no, and she asked me, do you want to do that? I said, yes, I do it. I always want to have a restaurant myself, but I want to have a rotisserie Peruvian chicken restaurant.
A rotisserie chicken restaurant?
Peruvian is different.
Oh, Peruvian.
Different. Yes.
Okay.
So this restaurant came,
Okay, well, now, were you a cook? I mean, did you cook at the house whenever you
No. It's a macho society. You are not let. My mom kicked me out. She kicked me out. I wanted to be there. She kicked me out, you know.
Get out of the kitchen.
Actually, it's interesting that you ask, because I would have liked to be a chef, you know, if I had a choice back then. But at that time, there was no chef schools.
Okay.
You know, so as a man, she kicked me out, but I was always sneaking in her food, looking,
Was she a really good cook?
Very good cook, extremely good cook, very, very good. So my grandpa was from Guangdong that immigrated to Hong Kong, so she taught her a lot of Chinese food. So there was, in my other side, the Salsita you're talking about, is the Basque people that came from Spain. So you have this indigenous Peruvian, you have this Chinese, you got that Spanish background on me. That's why
all in Peru.
No, in me. In
oh,
me.
In you.
Yeah,
in you.
Me. You know, our food is very fusion in Peru, but especially me, I'm fusion myself. So when I came in and bought a restaurant and a pizza place, I couldn't be, something was itching me to sell more.
Yeah, because that's why your menu was more than just pizza. You had a lot of good, and you still do, I suppose.
Yeah, and that was one of the successes, that because I did something different than a lot of people didn't do. I mean, a small town to sell fried rice and a pizza. Yeah. People say, why? I say, why not? And when I say, why not? People don't know what to say. I say, it's good because, you know, Chris Lorton comes with his family. His wife likes our fried rice. He doesn't like pizza. And his son wants a quesadilla. And she wants a pad thai. And you want, you know, a lomo saltado from Peru. But it was only mornings on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So it was something different I wanted to do. And it worked really well because then I expressed myself. Because if you sell something that who you are, part of me, it really came naturally. And I really, when I sell food, Chris, I always try to be as good as the best dish that I knew around. Let's say I knew, like, they sell really good pizza in this place. I'll go visit it. My pizza needs to be as good or better than this. In anything. In a fried rice or in a stew or not.
I'm glad you didn't go for steaks when I had George's.
No, steaks is too hard. I mean, the temperature, too many. I mean, I think it's really hard to cook steaks. Oh, it's too cooked, too undercooked. I mean, norms everybody
used to have. True that. So things were bad in Peru, you know, and you had, did your parents, did they come over eventually?
No, I'm myself. And when things went bad, point of no return. I said, Mom, I had to go.
Yeah.
And she gave me one advice. She said, she shared one tear because she got a difficult upbringing.
Yeah,
she's
going to miss you.
And but she got a difficult upbringing when she grew up. She was an orphan, you know, my mom. So she said to me, if you fail, you get up. That's the advice she gave me. And boom. And she said bye to me. And I came. And I thought that I knew some English. I didn't know anything. I knew some, but one of the hardest things was to learn the language, you know.
Yeah.
And I want to teach Spanish to my kids. To my own chagrin, they didn't want to. You know, but things came into fruition later when they told me, Dad, I wish you would have told us more. I said, I tried to. You didn't want to learn. Because then, Chris, there was no books, no videos. You're talking about 90s, you know.
Right.
So it was on my own. And I was trying to learn English myself. So it was not easy, though. And, you know, it's not only the language. You got to learn the customs, the weather, the what to say, the innuendos and shenanigans, the, you know, the holidays, the so many things. You know, it's just it's more than just the language, customs. You know, what to say, what not to say. I remember I was in a store, and I caught in front of the lady, and I said, "Excuse me," and she said, "Excuse you," with a high intonation. But I did not know that high intonation means that you are on my way, because in when you learn English, you say, "Thank you, excuse you." That's it. But you don't learn the intonation. So
when she told
me, "Excuse you," I said, "Thank you." And she got mad at me. And my wife said, "Oh, you didn't know what you did? You know what you do?" I was like, "You were in her way." And, well, I did not know. See, stuff like that, you had to embarrass yourself and learn as you go along.
Right.
So that was, and still, I'm still learning, you know, but it's a process, a long life process.
Hey, if you're just joining me, I have a pretty famous guy in studio. Everybody knows him. Everybody knows his restaurant. One of the best restaurants that ever came to the Tri-County. Maybe five counties. I don't know. Alfonso Siesta.
No, Siesta, where you take a nap. Sacieta. No siesta. Siesta, we go to Spain and Mexico from 4 to 8. Remember, take a nap? That's siesta. Sacieta.
Sacieta.
Sacieta, yes. Sacieta. It's hard because they have the I and a E sound. It's, you
okay,
know,
now how did you end up in Carrollton?
In Carroll because my wife was from Carroll. The restaurant came for sale.
That's the restaurant you're talking about?
Yeah, I was in Chicago. Oh, that Joe's Pizza in Carrollton.
Joe's Pizza.
Which is Mike Biondo's brother that used to be in Carrollton. Yeah. So it came up for sale because Alina's father helped Joe with the citizenship. They were kind of friends, customers. So it came up for sale. So her brother didn't want to buy it, so we bought it. And, you know.
So how was that?
Oh,
I mean, you've never been in a restaurant business. I work
in 11 restaurants, but I was never an owner, you know.
Ah.
And the first few days, it was rough because one day, I remember that third day, we just sold 3 pizzas. and we need to sell 11, 12 pizzas to make it break even, you know.
Just 11 or 12?
To make the costs and everything.
I know, but I thought it'd be more than that.
Well, a day.
I know, but I still thought it'd be
more. We kind of figure out something, you know. We kind of like that with 3 pizzas.
Three pictures.
So we sat in the couch, and the couch broke. It's like, ah! There was a pizza can underneath one of their legs. So I said, no, I'm going to be resilient. I'm going to try every
you
pizza.
Just like your mom told you.
Yes. My mom told me, you get down and you get up.
So what was the kicker? What really turned the tide for you, for Alfonso's Pizza?
A lot of things, Chris. I mean, Alina and her mother, father, and her family were very supportive, you know.
Okay.
And the town was supportive of us. You know?
Yeah.
And we tried our best. It was a good thing for me, maybe with her, because her family got a good reputation.
Right.
Her dad was a minister in town and in Cannesville.
Ah.
And he was well-liked, you know, and helped me out. And also Alina, being from Carrollton, she helped me with my language learning, and I helped her with the Spanish, which is a little different than the Mexican Spanish. But she helped me. We both help each other, you know. And I said, okay, we're going to try every pizza place that's around in Missouri, Illinois, Oklahoma, wherever we go, I'm going to try that pizza. So I tried every pizza there was around.
This is before you actually opened?
No,
or during?
During. I had to improve Joe's Pizza because he was not doing that well. You know?
Uh-huh.
He was kind of struggling a little bit. And I said, there's an opportunity here. We can make this go. So we tried everything. And I said, no, my pizza has to be as good or better than whatever pizza I try. So we try. And same with the bread, same with anything, the spaghetti, you know, with the mozzarella, the sandwiches. And we start turning things around. People start trying things, you know. But, you know, Chris, it's hard in the food business because you only have a few tryouts with people.
Yes.
1, 2, 3 times, that's it. And then people say, oh, I don't like it. And they go someplace else. So
yeah.
It was difficult. And we tried. And then things got better and better and better and better. And we had one employee, and then two, and then three. We now, when we left, there's more than 20, you know.
No
so
kidding.
Yes, yeah. So that was a blessing. And also, like I told you, you know, I'm part Chinese, Spanish, Peruvian, and 10% everything else.
Yeah.
But that was coming out of me. I couldn't just sell pizzas.
Right.
I had to sell what I am.
So
that really helped me out because I'm always inquisitive about new things. And I was like, man, what if I sell it to Incredible? Everybody told me, Incredible, you won't be able to sell that. I said, why not? We're going to bring the world to them. You know, the music, the culture, the different foods. Yeah. And we end up even selling Thai food. I sold Pad Thais and Patsyus and, you know, and way back when it was not even known besides the Chinese and Latin.
Now,
when did
you start the Alfonso's?
1991. That week my son was born. So that was kind of tough because my son was swinging in that swing, and here we're in a new pizza place, new language, new people. And
did you bring him to the pizza joint with you?
Yeah, he came to the pizza joint. Yeah. You know, and you know, when you're a foreigner, there's a lot to learn. You don't know anything. There's so many things to learn, and here you're trying to raise a family, you know, learn from the culture, you know, your kids. And not only that, but I was detached from my own family. Because the phone calls were expensive. There's no WhatsApps or emails. It was starting to come, but it was hard because you pretty much.
Hey, what was the turning point? What was the day? What do you remember? And all you said to yourself, we got this.
When things start turning around, when you know, we my mother-in-law is a good cook, so she's working on the bread. We started working on the bread and the dough and the and the toppings, and I knew the secret to the food is to have really good products, you know. Mm. But like, you know, food is not easy because it's not only recipes, timing. When do you do cooking? When when do you move things? When do you? It's a balance, and I love that. I love that challenge of I'm gonna try to sell fried rice to the Carrollton.
You know, but what? Do you remember the day when you realized that you were going to be a success? I know when you had sold the three pizzas.
It was a daily process, Chris.
Huh?
It was a daily process. And then when we started.
Daily process.
Yeah, daily process. Daily process.
How long did it take before you realized?
It took a few years. Three,
few years?
4 years. You know, when you start saying, you start getting busier. Oh, this is good. Busier, and people start coming from Jerseyville, from Malton, from St. Louis, and from all the places. And you're like,
did you have people? Oh, how far did people travel to come to your place?
From St. Louis, they come from
just make a special trip.
Yeah, they make a special trip. I remember talking to them, but a lot of people came from Godfrey, from Jerseyville, you know. And I knew that I had to compete not only with myself, but with other pizza places and with the refrigerator. And frozen pizzas. So
yes.
I kind of compete with that. So that was not easy, though, because I had to prove myself. And I also didn't want to be the same, you know, Italian pizza that a lot of people have around.
Right.
Because they're all related, so they have the same pizza.
Yeah.
And that was a challenge, Chris, because to make something good, that tastes good, that is different, and you can make some money on it, that's a whole challenge in itself.
It is. Yeah,
and that was, I took them for myself. I was like, I visit every place. I mean, I went to your place, to your hamburgers. I threw every place that I went. I was like, I try and I like this. So, but you know what helped me is our background. Peru has one of the best foods in the world.
Mm.
I mean, I'm just saying that you can Google that, you know, top culinary destinations. So we have so many backgrounds of people and languages and food and the weather. It's so. So we know a lot of flavors. So that really helped me out as a Peruvian to be able to bring something to enhance what I knew about the Italians or the Greeks or the whatever culture there was.
So basically, your advice to anybody in the restaurant business, you know, do you advise people to go in the restaurant business? It's hard.
Yeah, if they love it, you know.
Yeah.
But another thing, Chris, we found out, I'm a people's person, and I like to know my customers. Uh-huh. So I visit with them. I got to know them. Not because I want to sell them, but I wanted to know who Chris Lurton is and how's your family. I want to connect with them. And you kind of inspire me because I saw you in the front porch of your restaurant saying hi to people. And like, and you engage with them. You know,
yeah.
You say, and, you know, we live in it's getting more of a lonely society. So I want them to feel at home in my pizza place. I want them to be part, feel at home. Yeah. And then and I knew they would bring their families and their cousins and have a different decorations. Well, and I was like bright colors, so I like bright pictures and things. So I want to be unique, but also to express my culture and who I am through my food and through my place. So everybody has his own story, you know? And that was, I think, part of the success. And God, you know, God helped me and put things in my path that really shown in front of me, you know? So
yeah,
that was really good. Remember going to the Cursillo with you?
Oh, yeah.
And you
yeah.
were the main guy, you know? And I remember those things. So, you know, so all those things kind of came into fruition later. It's like, oh, wow, things are doing well. And things got... I was like, oh, a bit more I can chew. Because, you know, when you sell all this food, you got to prepare a lot of stuff. And it's like,
you doubled the size of your dining room. Maybe tripled the size of your dining room.
Yes, and it was packed. I mean, people waited like 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and I feel kind of bad, but I couldn't handle it anymore. I was like, that's all we can do. You know, that's as much. And I said, but customers appreciate that. I will tell them, well, it's going to be an hour and a half, but I'll call you if it's taking shorter, you know, so you can make a decision. You know.
So what are you doing now in retirement?
Keep my, you know, it's a new reshuffle of things for me because it was so ingrained. So focused on the family business. Now here I have more time, so I have to keep my my life in balance, you know, my spiritual life, my physical and my mental.
I hear you're a pretty good pickleball player.
I'm all right for my age, you know. I love to play, you know, but
what else do you like to do?
We are sometimes help. There's an organization, Restore Network, that cook for people.
What
meals
is it?
For people, adapt kids, and we help
meals,
them cook.
Meals on wheels or something like that?
Well, we help them. When somebody adopt a kid or foster, cook for them, or somebody call me, I help them. You know, I like to read.
Okay.
One thing I wanted to read is the Bible. I never had time to read the whole Bible, so I'm reading through the Bible now. You know, and learning. Yeah. And, you know, if I'm gonna be a Christian, I want to know what does that entail? Well, what is it? So I've been working on that. I got a garden. You know,
you do.
That is big fruits and it keep me busy too. And a lot of honeydews to do too. So
yeah. So you're also, staying busy. I mean, you look great.
I like
great.
To read. Well, I'm trying.
Chris. Yeah.
And also, we like to travel. We just came from a big trip west.
Have you been back to Peru?
Yeah, I go to Peru every year. Well, that's another thing. It's been a blessing that we sold a restaurant because my mom is 91. Oh. So I was able to visit her for a little while, and I'm glad to go back. And my grandkids, too. I'm going to say grandkids. You think you have more time? No, you don't have a lot of time. You think you do, but you don't.
Yeah.
But I want to be with my mom more, you know. She's 91, and she's getting older. So that was good. It's been good. It's been good. I am really thankful to God for all the blessings and the support from the town, from the people, from the community. Not only from Carrollton, but...
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, Calhoun, I mean, get to know so many families. And that's what I miss the most. I don't get to run into them not too much. Only when I go to Walmart or places like that, but not on a daily basis where you can see, you know.
Right.
You know, when you are 32 years, you see grandparents, parents, kids. So you are connected deep. You know, you see parades, funerals, death, baptisms, you know, games, all that stuff. Yes. So my experience as a foreigner in a small town is like a microcosmos of America. So you get to see. I used to translate for the courthouse here in Greene County. Yeah. So that really got me in touch with the whole system. And you know that lawyer and the cat lady and the drunk guy and the police and the plumber. I mean, you need to know. You know everybody. You know, and it dawned later on me. I was like, wow. These are my people. Yeah. This is my town. And that's why I haven't moved. I love that town. And also in the restaurant, a lot of people's like, think about just money. You know, money comes, you know. And you know that, Chris. Mm-hmm. You are a mentor to a lot of people. Those kids that come to you, I was not always the best, but I tried my best.
Yeah.
Those kids are going to be members of a society of America.
Yeah.
You need to, sometimes they're in the fence.
Right.
Either you help them out or you don't.
Yeah.
You help them be in the process. It's not easy because when a kid comes at 17, 16, they're set in their ways. You know, you got to... hard to change things. But that was a challenge that I realized I took upon myself. But later, I was more aware of that. As I got older, wow, I need to. When I see the difficulties and the challenges, and you try to break those habits and downfalls on people. But you want to make them better, you know. That's something I enjoyed too, but it was not easy. And as you get older, you get wore out, and then you try to run a business on top of that, you know. And you know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
You done that. Yeah. You know, it's not easy, Chris. But you feel good because you're like, well, I do the best as a member of a community. I did the best I could, you know, from what I could. So.
Well, Alfonso, it's very good of you to come in today.
Thank you, Chris.
It's I wish you nothing but the best. And we'll see you around on the streets. Doing good. You take care.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.